So, like a lot of your parents, I think we probably grew up in a similar way. And my mom and dad, and studies are telling us really that it's the fathers that influences, mothers also, but fathers especially influence our sense of adventure. And that's one of the challenges to broken homes because, children that without a father figure don't have a sense, the same developed kind of sense of adventure. And it develops later in life, it's a different thing. But we know that this sense of adventure that comes from fathers, they have not only a sense of adventure, but sometimes they'll teach us a sense of expectation about the adventure. So, for example, I have two daughters. My wife and I, we raised them to be very independent and to think on their own and to navigate life, thoughtfully and not be dependent. And I can say independent 1,000 times. We really did try to get them as young women, as girls and young women, to have this sense of independence. It was important to my wife and I, and boy, did they get it. Wow. Very independent. But you sprinkle in it a little bit of adventure with the independence, and you have my daughters. And I don't quite know how they got to where they got in their careers because it's a sense of independence and adventures. For example, one of my daughters has an English degree, but she's a financial analyst. Do you catch that? Grammar and math. Somehow along she crossed the lines into the other world. But that's an independent thinking. And that's, and we want her, and I want her as a dad to go make her mark in the world. You know what I'm talking about? I want her to go make it. My other daughter, she's kind of following in my corporate footsteps. She's a strategic corporate consultant, helps form strategies, and she's new in that space, but that's similar to what I spend a lot of my time doing in my corporate life. And I want her to make her mark in the world. And this sense of adventure, I want her to go, and I want her to do, and I want her to try. And I want both of my girls to do that. And whether they're trying a new restaurant, a new food in a restaurant, or whatever it is, go make your mark. You know what I'm talking about? You parents, you want your kids to make a mark. I've no doubt about that. And you want it to be a big, successful mark. I believe if you grew up in a good, healthy home, your parents probably wanted you to make a mark. They wanted you to find something that you enjoyed doing and do it well. Make a mark. Take a stand for that. And we would say the same thing for our faith. And here, this is very woven into us, and I have a topic here today that, about making the mark and what our spiritual father, what our heavenly father wants us to do. He's giving us a sense of adventure, and he says, "Go make your mark." We have a little bit different terminology though than maybe how I did raise my daughters. I may not use the same language, and maybe your parents didn't use the same language as the scriptures. But our heavenly father would use language like, "Do good work. Do good deeds." Do mitzvah or mitzvot. Do them. Do them in my name. So we have kind of this working, gentle process that we believe in here. We believe that we kesher, we come to connect, we come to kesher. And this is what we do every Shabbat and every group, every Havara group meeting that people have, they connect life. Oneg is about connecting life. We come and we encourage each other. Somebody comes in, we get to know them. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We get to know each other, we connect. And we want to encourage each other in what we know. And we want to equip each other with the best that we can. And there's kind of this equipping sense that goes on. And then finally, there's this impact sense. And that's all about taking that and going out and doing good deeds. It's about doing mitzvot and doing these things. It's not my idea. We got a new clicker. We'll see how it goes. Hey, there are 3 ways to give. Sound the trumpet everywhere throughout the land. Follow my decrees. What's happening here? This is a song superimposed over what? It's a miracle. I didn't even press a button, David Schiff. That's good work. How many of you are with me? You have this love-hate relationship with technology? Holy guacamole. I get in my car. I don't even understand the buttons in my car. I just want to go. You know what I mean? And fortunately, my car has a radio knob. I can turn it up, turn it down. Technology, man, it's this love-hate thing. So Ephesians 2, remember, whose idea is it that we have we do good deeds? For by grace you have been saved through faith. Got to stop here for a minute. We don't get saved In other words, we don't enter into a relationship with the Lord in a good standing unless it's through grace. It's not good deeds. How good we are doesn't get us there. And there are so many people who chase good deeds. They're missing it. We come into relationship with the Lord not because of anything about us, but because of who He is and what He did for us. Because He had grace. And it's through grace, His grace and faith, and He gives us enough grace and enough faith to start it all, that we enter the relationship with Him. But we read on. And it is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, which I just mentioned. It is not based on deeds. No deeds. What are we going to do for God? This is a funny thing to be. God Almighty, who made the earth, what are we going to do? God, I've got 10 bucks if you need it. What are we going to do for Him? God, if you want to use my car, I'll leave the keys in the counter. It doesn't even make sense. What good deeds would be enough for God? Are you tracking with me? It is by grace alone. We offer nothing. It is by grace alone that we are able to come through Him through our faith and not our deeds. We can't boast because of it. From verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua for good deeds. And the way I would say it with my daughters is for impacts. Represent our family well, daughters. Don't be goofballs. Don't do it. I have 3 siblings. They're goofballs. My parents are lucky to have me. So I want to raise my children up. But that's what the Lord said. And I'm kidding, by the way. If any of you who don't know me walk up and say, that Jim, he's really arrogant. Just, it's my sense of humor. I got to tell you, this is totally a tangent. I was in Alaska with a youth group a couple weeks ago, and you Bethites, you know that. And I'm sitting we're in a buffet, and I'm sitting in the middle of the youth group, and they're all sitting around this table, and it's me hanging out with the youth. It was cool. I had a good time doing that. And I said some joke. At least I thought it was a joke, and the youth laughed. But this lady sitting right here, not part of the youth group, who doesn't know me, she turned around and she said, well, that's inappropriate. I said, are you from Illinois? No, I didn't say that. I maybe thought it, though. We are made for good deeds. We're made for good deeds in Messiah Yeshua. We are made for good deeds. We are made for good deeds. You know, it's interesting if we go through the Word and we look at kind of the overarching tenor. Segments of the scripture, important segments of the scripture, and what the scripture points to as a whole, how much we're made for good deeds. Think about it. 1 Corinthians 12, this idea that everybody has a gift to support the body of believers. In other words, we have a gift, you have a gift to support all of us. I have a gift to support you, all of us. Ephesians 4:11, we have these roles, the shaliach, the delivery guy, and a rabbi and a teacher, and we have this role in Ephesians 4:11 because we're supposed to equip everybody to do their works of service. Everything, the whole tenor of the scriptures, there's agape. We give our life to the Lord, to follow the Lord, and we get this something, we get a seed of something called agape. It's a kind of a love. It's a selfless love. Well, I don't need selfless love for me, but I do need selfless love for everybody else that I come in contact with. Anywhere where I'm in a shopping mall or I'm walking down a street or we're together, you want me to grow in my selfless love, and I want you to grow in your selfless love. The whole scriptures, the whole tenor of the scriptures is that we would interact and do well and do good works with other people. And we're wired for it. The gifts of the Ruach, the fruit of the Ruach. Love, joy, peace, patience. That's not just for me. That's so I am changed, so I interact with people better. Good deeds, good deeds, good deeds, good deeds. Mitzvot, mitzvot, mitzvot. Do you see where I'm going with this? The scripture is a very high level of over and over again telling us to be mindful of good deeds. There's a couple chapters. We're just going to look at a couple examples here. I don't know what just happened. There we go. Titus. This is the book of Titus, by the way. And we'll just burn through these verses. It speaks a lot to good deeds. read chapters 2 and 3 in your own, or read all of Titus, honestly. It kind of rolls all together. Paul is talking to Titus. He writes this letter to Titus, and he's telling Titus a number of things, and he's really giving this young man a sense of how to live his life of influence, his life of impact. And he's going on in chapter 2, verse 7, in all things showing yourself to be an example of good deeds. Not just doing good deeds, but being an example. You know, if we look at doing good deeds and we think, well, I'm doing fine. But then we think, well, I have to be an example of doing good deeds. That's a very different approach. We're not supposed to just do good deeds. We're supposed to set the example in it. We have to out-example each other. 2 verse 14, the Lord himself gave himself for us so that we might redeem us. He might redeem us from every lawless deed, a lawless deed. Do you know, before we give our lives to the Lord, whatever good deeds we think we're doing, the Lord says, are filthy rags unto him. They're useless. They're useless. You know, think of a dictator and they do a good deed. No one else likes, they don't like the dictator anyway. It doesn't matter if the dictator does a good deed. You know, this basically, until we give our life to the Lord, our good deeds don't mean anything to him. They don't honor his name. So that he might purify himself for a chosen people, zealous for good deeds. Looking zealous for good deeds. By the way, can I give you a quick definition of good deeds here this morning? Everything you do, everything I do, those are good deeds. How we treat our friends, how we treat our spouse, our children, how we treat our coworkers. Everything we do. If we go tell somebody about the Lord, good deed. We help a neighbor, good deed. Everything we do in the Lord's name. That's a lot of good deeds. Chapter 3, verse 1. Remind the people to be submitted to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, ready for every good deed. You know, not everybody likes our president. Not everybody liked the last president. Not everybody will like the next president. But regardless, all believers are supposed to be ready for good deeds and be respectful of those authorities, whether we like them or not. This is sometimes where people get really mad at me. You're talking about politics. You know what I'm talking about? But here at Beth Messiah, we remember we follow a king. And the king sets the tone for how we look at presidents and governors and senators and congresspeople. Chapter 3, verse 14. Let our people learn to devote themselves to mitzvot, good deeds, to meet urgent needs. Let them learn to devote themselves. There's an intentionality to it. So just two things I want to bring out about good deeds this morning. It's not an unfamiliar topic with us. Probably when you're a little boy or a little girl, your mom, your dad, your neighbor, your teacher, somebody said to your life, you have to do good deeds. There's the golden rule, do unto others. You know, that would be a type of a good deed. And probably we were all taught to be mindful about good deeds. Is that true? Is there anybody who has never taught that before? No hands. So we were all taught in some level of good deeds. But there's two things, though, that I want to finish with our time on about good deeds. And they're relevant things for us here at Beth Messiah. They speak to our house and where we're trying to go in our house, but they really are about being a believer. And sometimes we lose them in the mix, these two things, we lose them in the mix of where we're going in life. Okay, the first, Galatians 6. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. There's a good deed connected to this. If a learner, we're learners, we're talking about biblically here, we're all learning and we should provide for our teachers, those who teach us. There's a good deed. How do we provide for those teachers? On one hand, it could be monetarily. We know that when this is written, he's speaking monetarily about this, support the teachers, the biblical teachers. But also it's prayer, it's hospitality. My point in this is this, we're all connected into the good news of the Messiah and sharing the good news of the Messiah. We're all connected in it. We all have to work together in it. It's not just that one person up front or that one small group leader. It is not the one Shabbat school teacher. It's not just the random ones. Everybody is supposed to work and support and care for what goes on to get the good news out. Everybody is. It's not just one person. I think one of the great injustices in our society is when we started calling people in clergy ministers. So in churches, we're more familiar with it, but even governmentally, somebody could be a rabbi and be called a minister governmentally. The reality is we're all ministers. We're all ministers. And we can't expect one person to do it. If we're going to have a life of full good deeds, we remember we are all ministers. Another component let me say this. We can't grow weary in doing good deeds. You tracking with me? We can't grow weary. We can't get tired of it. We're all connected to, and this is really what I wanted to say in this last verse, we're all connected to getting the good news out. Why would we ever tire of getting the good news out? Why would we ever tire of being ministers of the good news of the Lord, of the good news of the Messiah? Verse 8, we read a little more. For the one who sows the flesh will reap corruption from the flesh, but the one who sows in the Ruach, the Spirit, will reap from the Ruach, the Spirit, eternal life. So let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we'll reap if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have an opportunity, let us do good toward all, especially those who belong to the household of faith. This is the household of faith. But you get the point in the verse. We all have to do good. Never give up. And somewhere along the line, and this is what the verse is telling us, our doing good is intrinsically connected to our walk with God. We can't separate it. We can't have a walk with God where we don't do anything. Every now and then I'll hear somebody say to me, well, all I have to do is love God and love people. There's no doing good to that. The Bible says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. Do good. We can't ever grow tired of doing good because it's connected to our very walk with God. Your doing good is connected to your walk with God. Someday at judgment, because we're all going to stand at judgment, everybody. And someday at judgment, on the other side, the Lord's going to judge, however this goes down, whatever the room looks like, whatever the space, however it happens. I mean, we don't know exactly what it's going to look like. But he's going to say, all right, let's look at what you did. Let's look at your walk for me. I see. Somehow that time is connected with our good deeds here and how we live for him here. And this is a very deep passage, by the way. We could go into greater detail, but for the sake of time, we'll just say that. That's enough for us to consider this morning. Another reason we can't ever grow tired of doing good deeds. Deuteronomy 20, verse 8, the officers will speak further to the troops. This is interesting. This is a passage about preparing for battle and the different fights Israel was to have. And there's a list of instructions. And the officers will speak, and this is part of the instructions, the officers will speak further to the troops and say, what man is afraid and faint-hearted? The good deed is the battle. Who's afraid and faint-hearted? Let him go back to his house so he does not weaken his brother's heart. Have you ever been around somebody who's really afraid of everything? Two things happen. One of two things always happens. One, they make people around them afraid. Oh, you're right. You're right. I couldn't possibly do that. And that happens in congregations all the time. Well, I couldn't possibly do that ministry. They made it sound real scary. I couldn't possibly do that. I couldn't possibly tell somebody about the Lord. I'm not ready. They told me I need to be ready. And there are people who in a congregation make everybody afraid around them. Or nobody wants to be around them. That's the other possibility. They're so fearful. People are like, ugh, all they do is complain. They convince, let's go. You know, and nobody wants to be around that. And you know what I'm talking about. Does anybody want to be around somebody who's always afraid of everything? Do you know, I used to hate roller coaster rides. I hated them. I'm going to tell you what got me on them. I didn't want to look like a pansy in front of this girl I was dating named Leah. Leah's like, I love roller coaster rides. Do you, Jim? Yeah. I love them a lot. They're great. I went to Great America. She's like, do you want to sit in the front? Yeah, I do. I mean, you know what I'm... So I can't show up to this lady that I really like, that I married her. We've been married now for at least 6 months, and we've got two kids that one of them I love. You know, it's been an interesting journey in life. But fearfulness is contagious. And we can't get tired of doing good, because we can challenge others and we can help others, encourage others to be fearful if we slow down our momentum. And you know what I'm saying there? Fearfulness is contagious. Being faint-hearted is very contagious. And if we ever get tired of doing good, we can direct people to being faint-hearted, to being weak on doing good things. We can never, ever get tired of it. And the second thing I want to say to share today, and this is really a hard thing. I don't have any verses. This is a little bit more experiential. Why we can't get tired of doing good things. And the second, though, is what about these good things? How do I persevere through doing good things? Have you ever just gotten tired of doing good? How do we persevere through them? And there's a couple things I want to speak to. And I had to write these down, and I've been stewing on these and praying on these. I had a chance to battle test one of these things in Alaska with the youth group. But they're true. If you've ever struggled with doing good things in the kingdom, remember these. First, remember you're doing it unto the Lord. You don't do it unto a person. Never unto a person. Always unto the Lord. And maybe a person's blessed. Hey, that's great. But you never do good things for the person. You always do it for the Lord. What would make the Lord happy if I do this good thing? Remember, you're the Lord's. You're not a person's. You're the Lord's. Always defer back to what the Lord would want you to do. When I worked in my corporate life years ago, there was always a big debate. It was a big company. There was a lot of people, thousands of people. And I remember this debate that we would have. And a big part of my job was corporate, and I would work with people in different pockets across the company. And the debate was this. They would say, well, I've got these people who work for me, so they work for me. That was the debate. As simple as it sounds, they would say they work for me. And I would say, actually, they don't work for you. They work for the company. No. They work for me, because everything that happens in their career is through what I give them and through the opportunities that I give them. Nope, you don't pay them. You don't create the standards, the guidelines. You don't set up any employment practices. You do nothing. You just sign their reviews. You tracking with me? Who do they work for? Do they work for the company or do they work for the boss? Now, the person, meanwhile, they show up every day and their boss sees them every day. Sometimes we can lose ourselves in who we're around daily. But our boss is the Messiah. We can never forget that. Our boss is the King. He is the one that we're doing the good deeds for. And a lot of people forget that. They roll through life and they think they're doing good deeds for people. Now, people might be the recipient again, but that's not why we do what we do with good deeds as believers. We do it because we please the King. And it's such a small statement to say that, but it's a whole lifetime to get good at. Because we do things for the King, I can persevere with people that are hard for me to be around. I don't have many of those in my life. And don't act so judgmental, because I bet you have them too. You know what I'm talking about? I don't want to know who they are. I can tell you with clean conscience, I love everybody here. This is not about this, but I've got people in my life kind of out there, and I think, oh man, God, I'm doing this for you, not for them. We do what we do to honor Him, and they get blessed by it. I don't have to think about where they're at. That's not my job to judge them. My job is to know that He's going to judge me, and I want to make Him happy. Another how tactic for doing good things. Don't shy away from your job as a place to do good things. A lot of times people, they work in these jobs and they create this mentally different worlds. You know what I'm talking about? They have a congregation. They show up here at Beth Mishai. They show up, you know, wherever they go, whatever the story is. And then they go to work and they're like, they just want to get through work. They just want to survive in the bubble. They hate it. They want to survive the bubble. They don't think of the bubble as being a place to do good works. Maybe the bubble isn't a career. Maybe the bubble is their family. Maybe their family has some opportunities to be less crazy. Do you know what I mean by that? And so they go to their family and they treat it like a bubble. That might be their opportunity to do good works to him in their family. Maybe their bubble is their neighbors. Have you ever had a bad neighbor that just makes your life miserable? Maybe that's the bubble. Maybe that's the opportunity to do good works. Embrace the bubble. Another one. Look for ways to serve. Look for them. It takes great intentionality. We've seen that in the verses. There's intentionality is required to do good works. It just doesn't happen. There's a lot of people who are not intentional. They watch a lot of TV. Look for ways to serve. We have a lot of ways here. It's body ministry. Ulysses, wave your hand. See that guy, he'll plug in or tell you how to do it. We serve, we care, we do good works here. Look for good works to do in your family. Look for good works to do in your neighborhood. Treat your family well. Be nice. Be kind to your children. Be kind to your spouse. Be kind to your friends. Be kind to your neighbors. Those are good works. Look for ways to do good works. There's nobody that we're allowed to be mean to. Unless you're from Illinois. But there's nobody else we're allowed to be mean to. Now, this next one is probably the most challenging. I alluded to it a little bit. Persevere. Some of you have done good works and you've been stomped on in your good works. Absolutely stomped on. That doesn't mean you're supposed to stop doing good works unto the Lord. You didn't do the good works for them. You did them for the Lord. You persevere. You hang in there and you do other good works again. And somebody may stomp on you and you know what? You do it again. Turn the other cheek, yeah? Do it again. Always good works. Maybe you feel like you've missed your opportunity for good works. This inevitably, somebody will say, I've had my opportunity for good works, and I'm at an age now, I can't really do much anymore. Well, that's silly. Everything we do is a good work. So reset and keep doing it. Maybe you don't know how. Everything is a good work. My point is the failures in life can stop us from thinking that we're supposed to do good works. Maybe you've had something done to you and it's just taken out your heart to do good works. Fan it back into flame, do it for the Lord, and get yourself back on the road of good works because it honors Him. Do good works. So here's why I'm speaking on this today. We really are, as a congregation, thinking of all the things that we can do in the community. How do we do it? We're going to build this pavilion. You know, this is a good time to say this. Some of you have been wondering, hey, we had this building fund to build stuff outside. Why isn't it built? Well, I took the money and I went to the Bahamas. No, that's not why. That's not why at all. In fact, we still have all of the money. It's ready to go. But we've had a horrible time booking contractors or getting the permit. Do you know that the government can be challenging to work with? Do you know it can be challenging getting contractors? Have you tried to get a contractor to do something in your house? So we have to get the right kind of contractors that can build this pavilion. We're talking about a concrete slab, 30 by 40 with a steel roof over it. And then some other things after that. But we couldn't build anything until we knew where the concrete slab in the pavilion was going to go. Whew, we think we're in the home stretch. We heard from the village. They said, yeah, we think we're going to let you build it there. And we wanted to build it in a certain place. And at first, we didn't think so. And there's a whole back and forth. Hey, praise God, here we are. We think we're going to move forward because we want to do things outside. We want to be known in this area. We want to be known widely in this area. We want everybody to know about Beth Messiah. Doesn't matter if people don't like it. Doesn't matter if people like it. We want more people to know. We got a good thing going here. So we're going to build some stuff outside. We want to be in a group of impact. We're going to need people involved in that. We need people involved in just telling people about the Messiah. High holy days are coming. You know a good deed? Inviting somebody to Rosh Hashanah. We'll have a card. We'll get a card with all the dates on it for you. I think the 22nd of September, I believe, is our first. That's Rosh Hashanah. It's a Monday night. October 2nd is Yom Kippur. But like I said, we'll have a card and then you come. We don't sell tickets. It's just it's easy. Invite people. It's going to be good. That's a good deed. Sukkot, that's a good deed. And also delicious. We eat very well at the Sukkot day. But we're going to have things, and we need people to do good deeds. People to do good deeds here, body ministry. People to do good deeds in their family. Create a healthy family environment. Your friends, be a healthy friend. Good deeds help you get there. You tracking with me? This is a fundamental thing to being Talmudim. Fundamental, Talmudim. Some places say disciples. We are his Talmudim. I wonder, I've joked about this for a while. Ultra-Orthodox, the black coats wear black coats and white shirts and have payuses, the curlies, and different hats. Sometimes it's a fur hat, sometimes it's a fedora, sometimes it's a, whatever hat. And then everybody who follows that rabbi will have the same kind of hat. So it's like gang signs. And I was thinking, wouldn't that be cool? If Yeshua was here, what kind of hat would he have on? Maybe a brewer's hat and cheese head. I'm just having fun, okay? This is not a literal thing. It's not a biblical requirement to dress like that. But it's my point. We would follow our Messiah. We would follow our rabbi. So we are his Talmudim, and this is what he wants us to do. And we mimic that. We look to mimic him. And do mitzvah, do good deeds. Amen? So please, you need a microphone if you're going to share. Is it good? It's my mom. Who would say no to their mother? Would anybody say no to their mother? Kylie would. We got one no. Two, Peter would. Three no's. Okay, come on up, mom.
I just wanted to share something that was on my way in here this morning. We come early for practice, and I play music, and I pray, use the time. And I just felt really getting this about good deeds. Now, I knew that I was supposed to bring this out earlier. Anyway, I came to church here. I came to synagogue, and I went into prayer room, and I'm praying. We had a really good practice, a great set. But I went in, and I was praying, between the time of the said practice and when we were to come out here on the platform. And I got the same thing, and it was just good. I knew it was from the Lord, and I said, okay, I'll bring it out during the worship. And then I came out, and the bass was blah. And that throws everything off. You saw me walk off the set a couple times. They were trying to get the bass fixed and everything. But it was, I'm telling you, it was good works, good deeds. Start here. This is your house. Start connecting, caring about the person you're sitting next to. You'd be surprised what's held in their hearts. So I went, and I knew that if I came up here now and said this, Jim would say, oh, no, I told her. He did not tell me. I'm telling you. It's good works.
Thanks, Marv.
Praise mother.
And next, Ingrid is going to come sing a solo. No. Please stand up. Let's pray for us. Lord God, you are the teacher and the author of what is a truly good deed. And you make it possible for us to bring you good deeds. You take us from that old way where they don't matter to the way that it does matter. So help us, Lord. Teach us to be good deed doers. Zealous for them, growing in them, always pointing to you and your testimony. Thank you for everything, Lord. Thank you for your goodness in our life, and help us reflect that in the good deeds that we demonstrate toward others. Thank you, Lord. B'shem Yeshua. Amen. Yevarechach Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panav eliecha vihunecha. Yesei Adonai panav aliecha. V'yaseim lacha. Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.
Amen. Be blessed.